Today's title is Territory Concept. We've gone through kingdom kingship concept, where we see that the king has authority to do whatever he wants. Lordship concept basically is the Lord owns everything, and because he's king, he can do whatever he wants with his stuff, of which we are part of that stuff, right? Well, today we're going to talk about territory and what that means and how that affects the Christian in their daily walk. So in Genesis 1, verse 1, says, "And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Right? The most important element of any kingdom is property. Let me say that again. The most important element of any kingdom is property. Why? Because without property, you don't have a kingdom. Right? If there's not an area that isn't ruled by a king, it's because it doesn't have a property. And God created property first. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens. And that's talking about the second heaven, not the third heaven. He's already completed that. Stephen's looking at me like, what do you mean the second heaven? Well, for you guys, you can fill the young guys in on that. The first, second, third heavens. Okay? But he created the second heavens. And he created earth. And what was the reason for it? Well, he's king and he's Lord. And his divine plan was to create something in the physical realm. God is ever wanting to expand his horizons, expand his authority, expand his lordship. And in his mind, he created the physical realm. But part of that plan of the physical realm was he was creating a being to rule and reign and have dominion over this physical realm. And we see in the Genesis account that, you know, he made the light, the day and the night. He made the grass. He made the trees. He made everything, animals and stuff. And then his crown jewel, he made man. Amen? And then he gave the property to man. He says in Genesis 2, I think it's verse 16, actually verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God was transferring his power and his authority to Adam. When he said, let them, it's an actual transference of his authority to someone else, which is us. Nick. Genesis 1? Okay. Thank you. It's 1:26. We have a theologian out there. Thank you. I could stand to be corrected. That's a Berean for you. Amen. I want you all to be Bereans because I can learn. Amen. Genesis 1:26. He transferred power and dominion to man. And as I said to you before, man has power and dominion, but he lost it. Right? Adam disobeyed God. He gave away his kingdom to Satan. And from coming from a position of regality, he became a subservient slave to sin, of which all of us have been born into. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? But we have a quandary here. We have a quandary in that we don't believe that we are kings of the kingdom. Do we? If we believed, we would be active in expanding our Father's kingdom and getting people into the kingdom, not saved. Being saved is a term that we use in modern vernacular, but really it's being part of the kingdom. It's tangible. It's our life. It's everything that should make us up. And as I explained about the kingdoms before, the European kingdoms, in 1492, Columbus discovered the West Indies. And when news of this discovery came back, the European naval kingdoms, those kingdoms that had navies, quickly sent and embarked in claiming the property of the New World. Isn't that what history tells us? France and England predominantly took over most of North America, claimed it as their own. The Dutch had some little pockets in there, but primarily they took over the West Indies and part of the northern South America continent. And the Portuguese and the Spanish took over Central America, part of Western United States, of what we know as Western United States, and South America. And as we now know, that when they claimed that, all the territory became theirs. And all the resources became theirs. And all the people that lived there became theirs. And all those people that did not want to be ruled and reigned by these foreign governments rebelled. And of course, in our Christian love for them, we exterminated them. Isn't that what the history teaches? Right? I'm not pulling any punches. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, or we'll kill you. And we know how history has come out. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella paid for the expedition of Columbus. And after they had established their territory, annexing territories to be part of their kingdom, one of Ferdinand's sons came to him and said, "Father, I want to be king." And Ferdinand said to him, "You can't be king until I die." "I want to be king now. I don't want to wait till you die." And Ferdinand said to him, "Well, you're going to have to wait because I'm king and we can't have two kings." So Ferdinand, in his wisdom, sent his son to rule over what Portugal took over, we know as Brazil, and made him regent or king of that area under the authority of his father, Ferdinand. And his son ruled as king over that territory. Now, when Ferdinand came to visit, his son became prince because there can only have one king, right? But when the king left, the son became king again. He ruled in his father's stead. If we can take this and understand this spiritual reality from this physical example, that is exactly what God intended for man. And still does. Man was given a territory. And the territory legitimized his kingship and lordship. He was to rule and reign over the earth and have dominion to do whatever it was that he wanted for the good of the earth. Right? But the bottom line is, we gave that kingdom up to someone else. And from that short time of being a king, we became slaves. Now, today, every person who becomes born again, saved, God has immediately redesignated and reconstituted their spirit in such a way that they are now kings We have authority over the earth because that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross to restore not only the relationship we have with God, the Father, through the Son, and maintaining it in the Spirit, but also to rule and reign this physical realm again. Wouldn't you agree? This is yes, this is I don't know. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not preaching heresy or anything, but it is true. The concept of the kingdom for kings is that a king without a domain is not a king. Adam gave up his dominion, thereby lost his kingship. A kingdom doesn't exist without a domain. The domain was still here, but somebody else was ruling instead of those rightful heirs, you and I. And that was against God's original plan. The king has the right, the power, and authority to exercise his complete sovereignty over his domain. When you became born again, God restored you not only in a relationship, but he restored you to your high and lofty position in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are now seated in heavenly places, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for the saints. We go to Jesus and say, Jesus, we need this. Jesus says, Dad, they need that. Dad says, I know that. They can have it. I mean, it's that simple. You have the right to rule and reign in your lives, but you do not have the right to rule and reign in someone else's. Let me make that clear. A king cannot reign over another king, because then what we have is we have rebellion. We're assaulting another king's domain, aren't we? And that's what we do. We try to manipulate and cajole those who are kings with us to do the things we want them to do instead of letting the King of Kings deal with a king that is out of order. Amen? Their domain, their dominion, their area where they rule is their area. If their lack of sovereignty or understanding the sovereignty that they have in their lives comes and imposes itself upon our dominion, we have the right to rebuke that as kings. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If I go and visit you guys at your house, and I'm visiting you on a bad day. I mean, everything that could go wrong goes wrong, and it's like, oh, man, and Pastor, is that the door? Oh, man, I got to put this crap away. I got to put that stuff away because, after all, he's spiritual. I'm supposed to be spiritual. Right? Don't we do that? And don't we assault you by saying, what if Jesus was at your house? Don't we do that to you guys? I don't do that to you guys. I want you guys to know the truth. I don't want you guilt-ridden. So I'm at the door and I'm beating on the door, and all of a sudden I come in and, man, this house is like, you know, the whirlwind is all over, you know, the clothes are all over the place and all. And I immediately start saying, you know what? You need to pick up your clothes. You need to wash your dishes. You need to watch your kids a little bit better. You need to... I am usurping your dominion and authority by trying to impose my dominion and authority upon you. It is only God's right. If you ask me, Pastor, what do you think God says about this or that? I can tell you what the King of Kings says, but it falls on you to put your house in order, your dominion in order. You see, we all have the textbook, but we all don't apply it. Right? And we mess up because we're trying to impose my will on you. Or if you're from the South, y'all. We're trying to impose my will on y'all. Right? Because my Bible says they were all in one accord. That was an extended vehicle. Yeah. One accord. You guys are pretty smart, I'll tell you. So you have dominion over your own area, your sovereignty. And this is important. A king's wealth is determined or defined by his domain. A king's wealth is defined by your domain. What are you ruling? What do you consider wealth in respect to kingdom? Do you think having all the bling? All the bling with the ring and being gangster? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be my domain. Yeah, you know. Wearing my drawers down by my knees. Yeah, uh-huh. Who are we copying? Are we copying the King of Kings or those who are in darkness and don't understand? You see, if we're copying the things of the world, we insult our King who has restored us to our kingship and lordship. We are royal people. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you have to begin to start believing this because that's what God says. You know, when I sit up there and say, I believe God's word is true, I'm not just uttering it to make somebody else happy. I believe it. And so I conduct myself according to the prescribed way that the Lord says. If you don't, that's on you. I can help you. I can disciple you. But ultimately, it is your decision because you will be brought into account. Eventually, the king's going to come from Spain or Portugal or heaven, and he's going to pay us a visit, and we're all going to give an account. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Okay, just planting some seed here. We're building here. And finally, to lose a domain is to lose your kingdom. And losing a domain can happen many ways. We can abdicate our position. In other words, we can be MIA. I don't want to face my problems, so I don't. And so these problems come in like this gigantic wave waiting to crash us. It doesn't mean that God hasn't given you a domain. It means that you refuse to operate within that domain, again, insulting the King of Kings, because you are equipped to rule your domain. You are. That's what the Bible says. You are. You are a supernatural people. My Bible says all creation is waiting for this supernatural people of God to come forth. It's groaning under the weight of this sin that it has been subjected to that it did not create. And yet, we want to take the crumbs of the world and think that we have everything. Now, what's God's principles for man in order to operate in this domain? God created and gave man territory. He gave us territory to rule and reign. God created the earth to give legitimacy to man's kingship. In other words, you already are kings or queens, wherever way you want it. That's how God sees you. And isn't on his lap written the King of Kings on one side? If he's king, who's the kings? And on the other side it says he's Lord of Lords. He's Lord. Who's the Lords? We are. Man has the legal right to exercise power and authority as king over the earth. In other words, The domain that God has given to you, you have the legal right to live it the way you want to live it. You have that right. God has given it to you and to me. God said, let them have as a key to this transference of authority. You have it. All you got to do is learn how to use it. And man's kingship is a privilege. It is not a right. In other words, he chose us to be kings. We didn't have the right. We weren't born into this. He chose us for this. And it is an honor and a privilege that he says that we are kings in his kingdom. Now, because God has transferred this power and authority to us, this brings us to the quandary that I was saying earlier, and that is, how does this power and authority translate into our daily circumstances towards our culture and society? The first thing is to understand that we are in charge. Every born-again believer is in charge. You may not know how to take charge. You may not understand how to do certain things in the kingdom. That's what my job is for, to teach you, to train you to do the works of ministry or service. Amen? We don't lord it over somebody. We serve somebody in the spirit of love and charity to one another, in hopes that people will have that elevator go up and find somebody home. We're hoping that you guys begin to understand how regal you are, not how rigid you tend to be. You are royalty. You don't think you are because you don't believe you are. But if you say, I believe that the word is true, then you have to repent. That's all there is to it. You have to repent. Repentance is changing your mind. It's agreeing with God, changing your mind, and heading in a different direction. You are kings of the King. He's given you authority to rule over your domain. He has, in this transference, He has given us the power to create whatever it is that's in our heart. Because just like Him, He has given us creative power. What comes out of your mouth, you shall have. The creative power starts when we utter it. When we utter it. We should really be paying attention to what's coming out of our mouths. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't have because you don't speak faith. You don't have because you don't believe faith. You don't have, and you blame others because they have faith, that you blame them and want to take from them. And isn't that what the world's teaching us? It's okay, just go steal it from them. They don't know. You know, kill them. Take their stuff. Got to be like the world in order to succeed. And the kingdom is 180 degrees opposite of what the world teaches us. And I'll tell you what, I've lived in the world. I don't want what they have. They don't offer me anything. But my Father offers me everything. I just need to be faithful in dispensing with my authority. Some of us don't want to deal with the difficulties of life, and we go around and we say, God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Why is there so much lack? Why is there so much sickness and disease? Why this? Why that? Why don't you, God, do something? Well, the answer is simple. He gave it to you. Remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and he said to Philip, yo, dude, how much money we got? Philip says, oh, man, you know, Lord, you know, there's 5,000 people out here, man. You know, we don't even have enough money to feed some of them. Well, what do you got? What do you got? Well, I got 2 fishes and 5 loaves. We'll feed them. And he goes, oh, man. How are you going to feed this amount of people with this little bit? Jesus tried to get them to understand a spiritual truth. He has given us dominion. If you believe with all your heart, it'll be unto you. There's nothing too difficult unless you have faith. Everything that operates in the kingdom starts with our faith. You don't have because you don't have faith. You don't believe God at His Word, and so you don't have, and you live a life less than what God says. And I'm not saying we need to chase after all the stuff of the world. What we need to do is use the world's resources for extending our Father's kingdom to take back what is ours and share that with everyone so that we can propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want people in the kingdom. Souls are the most important thing that God is after. And He's not after your comfort or my comfort. If we think that that's why we're kings, I'll tell you what, being a king, being a leader, being a business owner, being at the top is the loneliest position you want, because nobody underneath you understands the pressures that you have sitting on you until you're in that position. Am I right? And that's the truth. It's the truth. And you're all called to be leaders. All of you. Even if it's just leading yourself. God isn't going to do anything because, first of all, He's given us, the church, dominion. Every believer comes in has the same authority and dominion as the next person that's come in. How you use it is a different story. And second of all, we don't invite God. God is like, I'll make it really kind. Lord, you may be the 15th or 16th down the road that we'll call instead of the number one, if He's even there. And people who know me, and they start sharing stuff with me, and I'll say this. I'll say, so, what's God saying? What's God said to you? Well, you know, Pastor, I've already made up my mind about this stuff. But what's God say? Well, you don't understand. No, I know perfectly. I understand perfectly. You don't understand. And trying to get people to see that God is preeminent. He's the boss. I'm not. I'm only the boss in my little sphere. My dominion. And I'm trying to teach you how to access the kingdom. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 18. I'm going to do this. Matthew 18, 18. Says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And how many of us have been in the spiritual warfare classes and have heard all about binding and loosing? No, you haven't been in spiritual warfare classes? Cool. This is going to be a revelation for you. This binding and loosing is the power and authority that God has given to us, not only against the demonic realm, but in every area of our lives. Binding and loosing. What the word bind means to shut down, to fetter, to hinder or prohibit, to lock up. To loose means to unlock or permit. If Jesus says that we have this power and authority to bind or loose, what does heaven have to do with it? Everything. Because it all starts and stops with God the Father. Think about this. I have sickness going on in my house. And I go to the doctor, and the doctor gives me penicillin, and I get better, but the following week I get sick again. Same thing. I'm taking care of myself, but I'm getting sick. I go back to the doctors, and I get some more penicillin or whatever, amoxicillin or whatever, and I get better. But then I continue to have this assault. Doesn't it make sense to realize that this thing may not be physical in its origin, but in its origin it is spiritual? of which we are spiritual beings contained in a physical container, having spiritual authority? How do we combat a spiritual entity when we don't understand this simple truth of binding and loosing? Jesus said, I've given you all power and authority. Whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. What he's saying there is, if you bind up this spirit, heaven will also bind it up. Because these things manifest in the physical, they originate in the spiritual. He says, whatever you bind, it's bound in heaven. We're going to send out the armies of God, and we're going to take this thing and knock it out. But whatever you loose, heaven's not going to do anything about it, because you're not doing anything about it. It is our power and authority that must agree with the power and authorities of God in order to stop the enemy or to loose God's will upon this earth. And that's why I say to you guys, the church has the responsibility of enhancing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we've done, especially in America, is somebody else is going to do it. Pastor's going to do it. Oh, Miss Karen's going to do it. Ed's going to do it. And we abdicate our responsibility as members of the body that you have been equipped with. God's not going to do anything until we invite Him in. But if He's not even in within the first earshot of our thought life, then we're going to have a problem. Anything that goes on, we should immediately be contacting heaven. God, what are you doing in here? What? You know, I've had all kinds of people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I think this would be a great idea. Yeah, it may be. But if God hasn't said for us to do that, we're not doing it. Well, don't you think you're being a little anal about this? You know, after all, God is concerned about us doing His will. That's what He's concerned about. And I'm not going to do anything outside of His will. Even if it means taking a nail gun and shooting it, those nails into my feet, I'm not going to do something because I want the benefits of heaven. I don't want God to come down there and chastise me for being my own little Napoleon. It has everything to do with our binding and loosing. God wants us to seek His face. He wants us to invite us in every aspect of our lives. Our dominion, the power and authority that He's given to us is in our sphere that He wants for us. But if we do not take that power and authority and we're constantly flubbing it off on someone else, hoping that it'll go away, guess what? It only comes back worse on us. We must confront the enemy and we must defeat the enemy. Everywhere that I see in Revelations 1 through Revelation 3, He says, I'm going to give you this to those who overcome. That tells me that there's a conflict going on and we win. Jesus took care of the enemy and He won. We're the mop-up crew. Which means we need to mop up what He started so that we can get out of here. That He can recreate a new heaven and a new earth. There is no lack of corruption or evil in the kingdom of heaven. Our Father is King and He is benevolent, holy, and full of grace and mercy. We need to renew our minds and remain focused on the truth of what He said and who He is. We need to erase all the wrong propaganda that the world has put into our heads and replace it with a kingdom mindset. And the way we replace it is understanding the power of land. The power of land is the first thing that God gave to man, and it was the first thing that man lost. Right? God promised land to Abraham and Moses. He told them, go here, I got some property for you. And he went. Real wealth is in land, and it never loses its value. To have lasting wealth, you must own land. God considers the loss of land a curse. but the restoration of it a blessing. In other words, every time that Israel disobeyed God, they gave up land to their enemies. Every time they repented and got on God's program, God restored it to them. The prosperity and blessings of God ride on our obedience only. Our complete obedience. And for us to exercise that dominion must mean that I must take this land. Hear me, church. I must take this land because He created us out of the earth. If this land has dominion over my spirit, I have no dominion. I have lost the land. We are spiritual people, empowered by God Almighty, to rule and reign so that the flesh does not rule us. The lust of the flesh must be crucified on a cross. We must be covered under the blood of Jesus Christ and then walk in obedience to what the King of Kings says we must walk in order for us to attain our destiny individually and collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. That is why when we're in disobedience, we not only hinder ourselves, we hinder the work of God to progress into fulfilling the destiny. You are kings. You are priests of the highest calling. Do not settle for what the world wants to give to you. Begin to imagine the creativeness of God our Father and what He wants to give to us. But He will not give us the keys to the kingdom until we begin to start applying the principles that He requires of us to operate so that when we get the keys, we can unlock those doors and the blessings of heaven will be ours. That is the truth, church. We have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. And what we ask for, we want to use it for our selfish desires, not for building the kingdom of God. If we ask for the things of the kingdom, we must utilize it in the spirit of charity or love to win souls so that they can know God the way that Jesus wants us to know Him. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You, Lord. I pray that in some humble way, God, I could emphasize the importance of territory. We have a lot of work in our territory, God. God, I just invite You to be in the midst of Your people today. Be in the midst of those areas, God, that we're struggling and help us to gain the victory, Lord. Help us to defeat the enemy, God. Help us to use the resources that You've given to us, Lord, to be the victors. God, I thank You for Your people's attentiveness and ask, Lord, that You bless them richly in whatever they set their hands to do or wherever they set their face to seek You, God. Father, I thank You that there's nothing hidden in You, God, that You expose everything. I just ask that You give us more understanding, more revelation, more wisdom to understand the concepts that You're giving to us so that we may appropriate them to receive the fullness of what You have for us, God. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.